This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The big question in business, is the housing market in that bad a shape?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. More people are applying for mortgages than at any time in the past 3 months. That's according to the Mortgage Bankers Association. We hear that tidbit of good news on this day that Democrats are vowing to stop Republicans from defunding federal programs that help troubled mortgage holders. Those programs haven't helped near the number intended. This afternoon, there's even a Senate hearing on the state of the housing market as a whole. And Marketplace's Gregory Warner is with us live this morning to talk about it. Gregory, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
So people are applying for more mortgages or they're refinancing. What's that saying?
It has a lot to do with mortgage rates. If you're thinking about buying a house, you want the lowest mortgage rate, but you also don't want to buy too soon before the housing market is bottomed. So last month, mortgage rates ticked up a bit, just over 5%. Partly because of the economy improved. So now they're down below 5% for the second straight week, actually at 4.9 this week. So some buyers are thinking, hey, you know, now is the time to jump in and sign on the dotted line and buy a house.
So if people, Gregory, are starting to dip their toes in, is that good news for the housing market?
It is. Some say it's the only good news. There's still a lot of excess housing stock, and home prices in many markets are still declining. I called Susan Wachter. She's a professor at the Wharton School in Philadelphia. She's testifying at today's Senate hearing on the state of the housing market. Actually reached her on the Amtrak on her way to D.C.
Huh.
Her talk is called Housing Recovery? Question mark.
The question is whether that decline gathers force. If people expect housing prices to decline, they will stay on the sidelines, they will not purchase, and without demand, housing prices will decline.
And that, she says, is really the definition of a very fragile market.
All right. Marketplace's Gregory Warner with us live this morning. Gregory, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Also on Capitol Hill today, a congressional committee looks at whether federal workers are underpaid. Political allegiance usually dictates what people think is the answer to that one. From Washington, Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports.
According to the latest government statistics, the nation's 2 million federal workers are paid, on average, 23% less than similar private sector employees. But James Shirk, a labor scholar at the Heritage Foundation, will tell the committee today the government is missing the bigger picture.
When you include the value of their benefits, the typical federal worker is earning between 30 and 40% more than a similar private sector worker.
Shirk thinks the government should contract out more jobs to private companies where wages and benefits are more competitive. But Max Steyer with the Partnership for Public Service says been there, done that.
Contracting has actually been the largest growth industry of government for quite some time. And there's a real argument about whether we're getting better value.
The head of federal personnel will tell the committee that comparisons between government and private workers can be misleading. Government cooks, for example, may earn more than their colleagues in restaurants, but many government cooks work in prisons, where the working conditions are more hazardous. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Stocks in London are down at the moment. German shares, however, are higher. McDonald's said it grew big time in Europe, but not so much here in the States. Sprint and T-Mobile are reportedly in merger talks. They want to compete with the bigger shops, AT&T and Verizon. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow was up about 1%, 124 points, to end the day at 12,214.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com. By Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at microsoft.com/cloud. And by Progressive Insurance, helping people shop for car insurance at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com.
Libyan violence, high gas prices, climate change. And yet these days, it's hard to shake Mark Stevenson of his rose-colored glasses. In his new book, the author takes a future wrought with problems and makes those problems seem more palatable. Stevenson wrote the book, The Optimist's Tour of the Future, and he's with us right now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, with the threats all around us, disease and climate change and just overall bad people, why are you such an optimist?
I'm not saying the future will definitely be better, but what I am doing is putting a few of those good options back on the table because we tend to sort of throw the baby out with the bathwater. So the book is actually quite well balanced, but it's balanced in the fact that it covers all the good stuff as well, which we don't get to hear enough about.
Well, I want to focus on the bad things since you're the optimist here. There's so much doom and gloom out there, especially about climate change, that the planet is changing. How can we be optimistic about it?
Well, the climate change argument is something we do need to be very worried about. But there are a number of things we can do now to solve that problem. Just one example is a man based out of Columbia University called Klaus Lackner. And he's invented a machine that can scrub carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere very cheaply. And he just needs $20 million to turn his prototype into a manufacturable unit. And 100 million of those would solve the problem. That sounds like a lot of technology, but you have to remember that we make 73 million cars every year.
How do we harness the best of what society will have to offer and use it as opportunity? I mean, is it only a matter of good timing or how did people prepare for this?
When we talk about innovation, we talk very much about what's happening in medicine or technology or even, you know, fashion, dance and music. These areas where we're used to talking about rapid innovation. But the one place that doesn't seem to innovate very quickly is government. The way that government operates really hasn't changed much for 300 years. And so it's very hard for them to keep pace with the change that is happening elsewhere, which means that you have this disconnect between legislation and technology, and that can be dangerous. So I think what we really need to do is re-architect the way some of our institutions work to more rapidly innovate in the way they deal with information.
What do you say to pessimists?
For me, it's about making sure that you aim in the right direction, saying, look, we still have faith now in our ability to make things better, but let's use our critical thinking skills and our intellect to make sure we do that with evidence rather than emotion.
Mark Stevenson, author of An Optimist's Tour of the Future. Mark, thanks.
Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
And finally, police officers on Monday spent a couple of hours picking up tens of thousands of dollars along a busy highway north of Columbus, Ohio. They don't know where the cash came from. Authorities checked with the FBI and armored car companies. No one reported any bills missing. But I know what happened. Somebody probably just left the huge sum of money they were going to pay for gas on top of their car. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles, online at marketplace.org, and you can follow me on Twitter as well, at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Clinical trials are some of the most important and expensive things that drug companies do, so they're outsourcing.
The number one reason why companies come to Russia is that they can enroll patients in Russia anywhere from 3 to 20 times faster than in either North America or Western Europe.
I'm Kai Rizdal. The doctor is in Moscow. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.